Well, this evening, just like to talk for a little bit about the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. It's a very well-known quote, I guess. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Comes from the book of Nehemiah, and it's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And this is what it says. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" And just let me put that in context. The people are rebuilding the city, but yet they're facing this incredible discouragement and opposition from people who don't want to see the city rebuilt. And there's just discouragement after discouragement after discouragement. And Ezra and Nehemiah get all the people together, and Ezra reads God's word to them. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament, all they had of God's word was effectively the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they may have had some other stuff written down, but they certainly didn't have the Bible as we know it. But Ezra and Nehemiah get up in front of the crowd, and Ezra reads God's word and reaffirms and explains God's promises. And at the end of this little passage that we just read, he says, "The day is holy. Don't be sad. Don't be upset, but celebrate because of the goodness of God." And what he's basically saying is, look, we're suffering from opposition, we're suffering discouragement, things around us are not going as we would like them to go, but let's not focus on those things, but let's focus and celebrate the goodness of God. You see, they couldn't necessarily change their situation. There was nothing they could do to stop the opposition. There was nothing they could do to stop people discouraging them. But if they focused on that, it was eating away at them, and it was destroying their enthusiasm. It was destroying their vision. And what Ezra and Nehemiah do is they say, don't think about changing yourselves. Don't think about changing your situation. But rely on the perfect and unchanging nature and personality of God. And my first encouragement to us this evening is, whatever you're facing, whatever situation you're in the middle of, whatever's going on around you, sometimes you just cannot change it. Sometimes we can't change our circumstances. Men particularly, we love to fix things, don't we? If something goes wrong, we like to fix it. And the reality is, quite often there's a whole load of stuff going on that we simply cannot fix. We just can't change it, we can't make it right, we can't put it right. And if we focus on all those things that are negative, it destroys something within us. And we can be like these people in Nehemiah. We can receive this as an encouragement that we might not be able to change what's going on around us. We might not be able to change our circumstances. We might not be able to change our situation, but we can rely on the perfect and unchanging nature and personality of God. And the first thing I just want to point out as we look at this subject of the joy of the Lord was, it wasn't their joy. Nehemiah said to them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And he could say that to them because God is so content and so secure in who he is that he is filled with perfect joy despite everything that's happening on earth. He can rest in his eternal nature of being complete and perfect, and he's got everything held together in his hands. He's got, as far as he's concerned, it's sorted. In his presence there are no worries or concerns. There is no anxiety in heaven. And I think, you know, if we were able to, you know, in our own lives, if we were able to remove all of the worry, all of the stress, all of the anxiety, all of the pain, all of the heartache, all of the loss, all of the sickness, all of the debt, all of the loss, all of the bereavement, all of the redundancy, all of the fears that we suffer, if we could take all of that outside of our life and just sort of tip it away, then I reckon we would be pretty joyful. You see, because that's the environment of heaven. You know, heaven is an environment of perfect joy, because there are no anxieties, there are no cares, there are no worries. Everything is sorted because we're in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And, you know, one day we will get to experience that for ourselves. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, in this world, everything is upside down. That which, if it could be prolonged here, would be a truancy, is likest that which in a better country is the end of ends. So what he's talking about is if we had time to read the rest of his quote, he's basically saying that we try to define joy based on our circumstances on earth. And he basically says, look, we've got everything upside down. We can't define true joy by what's going on down here. We can only define true joy by what is going on in heaven. And he ends up his quote, it's a long, long quote, and I've only just put the last couple of sentences in here, but he ends up with this wonderful sentence, you know, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. You know, that's what heaven is all about. They're so, you know, that's, it's just an environment of perfect joy. And, you know, that's because all of those things at the top of that slide, they don't exist in heaven. But the reality is, many of those things on the top of the slide there, they exist in our lives, and they steal our joy away from us. And Nehemiah in this story is encouraging the people to live in joy, not a joy that is dependent on their own circumstances. But he says, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he's encouraging the people to receive and live in the joy of the Lord. See, that we don't have to make it up ourselves. Isn't that such a relief? We don't have to crank up joy within our hearts, but we can rely on the joy of heaven being given to us. You know, the joy of the Lord, it's not our joy, but it's the joy of heaven coming into our hearts as a free gift, and that joy is totally, totally life-changing. You know, I just looked at a few verses in scripture about joy, and you know, they all say the same thing, that the joy that we live in is not a joy that we try and make happen within us, but it's a joy that we receive when we dwell in Father's presence. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you've made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, the psalmist is saying, when we place our lives in when we entrust our lives into God's presence, there is a level of joy which we don't experience in our earthliness, if you like. You know, when we're centered on the Father, we can experience these pleasures, these joys. Psalm 51, again, this Psalm 51 is the great psalm of David after he's sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet comes to him and confronts him with his sin. And Psalm 51 is this great prayer of repentance. And you know, David goes through the process of genuine heartfelt repentance. And he gets to verse 12 and he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." See, he realizes that through his sin and through his rebellion, through the things he's done, the joy that he experienced has been lost. You know, he's effectively, because of his own actions, he's almost like given that joy away, or he's stepped outside of that environment of joy. And he realizes that as he goes through this amazing prayer of repentance, he realizes that God the Father will give him his joy back. And he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Again, it's not something he has to make happen within himself, but he says, "You know, God, I've sinned. You know, God, I've blown it. God, I've got it wrong. But will you restore to me that sense of living in joy that only comes when we're centered on the Father's presence?" And I believe that through that process of repentance and through him coming back to the Father, you know, God would have restored that joy within David's heart. And it's the same for each one of us. You know, when you know what it's like when you blow it, or when you make a mistake, or when you get something wrong, you just feel like someone has pulled the plug out and all the joy you are experiencing has gone. And, you know, we don't have to remain in that joyless state. We can come back to the Father and say, "Father, you know, I repent from the bottom of my heart. I want to put it right with you. And Father, will you once again fill me with your joy?" And I promise you, he will, just like he did for David in that psalm. He'll do it for you and me. And I think it's a really important thing for us to do, is that, you know, when we know we've blown it, when we know we've got it wrong, and you know, the reality is, folks, it happens to us all. You know, we all have a bad day sometime, we all get it wrong, and you know, we all feel like something of that joy is just drained away. But we can come back and to the Father, and we can just put our heart right with him again and say, "Father, will you restore to me the joy of your salvation?" There's this lovely passage in Isaiah chapter 35. You know, the ransomed, the redeemed, I think another translation says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isn't that just a beautiful picture of if you like, of our homecoming? When we come into the Father's presence, when we live in the Father's presence, again, it's not a gladness and a joy that we have to crank up from within ourselves, but it's a gift that we obtain, that we're given as we come into that place of, we come into the Father's presence. And, you know, I know for me that the challenge every day is centering myself on his presence and saying, "Father, today I want to walk in your presence. Father, today I want to live in your presence." And for me, it's becoming more of a conscious thing. It's just, you know, as I'm driving to work in the morning, or even walking from the car park to the office, or just sitting at my desk, it's saying, "Father, I want to be centered on you today." You know, even doing my humdrum accountancy, you know, or working in the office or dealing with the staff, it's like, "Father, I want to be centered on your presence today. I want to be centered on you today." And, you know, I think it's something we have to do regularly, because we drift, don't we? You know, it doesn't take much before we get caught up with the busyness of life, and the focus of our gaze becomes on the things we're doing or the things we've got in front of us to do. And it's very, very easy to lose sight of what's really, really important. And I encourage us that, you know, it's a good discipline to get into is every day say, Father, I center myself on your presence today. Father, I want to dwell in your presence. Father, I want to live under that umbrella, that covering of your love. And, you know, I believe as we do that, then we're in the right place to experience and live in the joy that he wants to pour into our own heart, into our hearts. See, he gives us his joy as a gift. See, our own joy, if we can, man-made joy is dependent on our circumstances, it's dependent on how we feel, it depends on how the people around us are feeling, it depends on a whole load of things. Maybe some of them are totally outside of our control. Some of them we have, you know, we just can't influence at all. But our joy or lack of joy is dependent on what we're facing at that point in time. But his joy is constant. You know, ours comes and goes, but his is constant. And it's dependent on who he is. It's not dependent on what's going on around us. And, you know, it's a gift that we receive. And I believe it's a gift we receive as we just live in that center of his presence. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I think the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Sonship. As the Spirit of Sonship lives within us, it enables us to cry, Abba, Father. You know, God, you really are my dad. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the expressions is joy. You know, love, joy, peace. And it's a joy that is totally, totally dependent on who he is and not on what we're facing or not on what we're going through. You know, one of the things I think that we would all say over the last few months, as we've seen Barry every week on the webcast, as he's been with us, you know, going through that very, very difficult circumstance in their family with their youngest daughter, you know, Barry's been sitting here every week with a smile on his face, you know, and there's been a joy. And I've spoken to Barry outside of these webcasts, you know, on Skype and so on. We've talked together, and I've seen the joy in his heart that is a joy that is not dependent on the circumstances or the situation that he's going through, but it's a joy that comes from deep within him because he just happens to know that Almighty God is his dad. And, you know, I've just watched that over the last few months and thought, what an example to all of us, you know, walking through a situation that none of us would want to walk through, but yet walking through it with such tremendous grace and this overwhelming sense of joy that is not from Barry, it's not from Anne, but it's a gift that they've received from their Heavenly Father because they're so tucked into relationship with him. And John writes something very, very similar in John chapter 15, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It really says some wonderful things. You know, if you step into my life in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. See, I think this is really the key for us, that, you know, John puts it so well here in this passage, that if we step into his life in union with him and we allow his words to live powerfully within us. See, that's the environment, I believe, that we can experience true joy in, when we're in union with him, when we're one with him. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Amazing, isn't it? Every time I read those words, I think, wow. You know, we are loved with the same love as Jesus. And then he says this, let my love nourish your hearts. What a wonderful phrase. Let my love nourish your hearts. See, when our hearts are nourished by the extravagant love of the Father, how can we be anything but filled with joy? You know, it's like when our hearts are held in that safe place, when our lives are wrapped up in the Father's embrace, when his love is just being poured so amazingly into our hearts, you know, it's like that's got to be an environment that creates joy within us. You know, without that, any joy that we create within ourselves is going to be temporary. It's not going to last. It's not going to satisfy. But when our hearts are held and nourished by the love of the Father, then I believe that's what will cause joy to arise within us. See, I really believe, just coming back to Barry and Anne again, you know, they, over the years, they have allowed their hearts to be nourished by the love of the Father. And they can walk through this situation. And it's difficult and it's tough and it's not easy. But there's a peace and a joy in their hearts that comes from that union with their Heavenly Father. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands, for I am nourished and empowered by his love. You know, just as Jesus was nourished and empowered by his Father's love, so we too, so you and I can be nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose, Jesus writes, for telling you these things is so that the joy I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. See, Jesus lived his life with the joy of heaven inside of him. When he was down here on earth, you know, and he faced the Pharisees trying to kill him, he faced times of hardship, he ultimately faced a Roman crucifixion, his disciples abandoned him, but he went through all of that with a tremendous sense of joy in his heart. You know, in fact, it says, I think it's in Hebrews, that it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know, and it's like, it's not just the joy of returning to his Father, but it's the joy of gathering other sons and daughters together and taking them together with him to the Father. And, you know, Jesus says, I've told you these things. I've talked to you about this intimate relationship in order that you may experience the same level of joy as I experience, that your hearts will overflow with gladness. And I believe today that can be our prayer, that, you know, Father, will you fill our hearts with your joy? Will you fill our hearts with your gladness? Will you nourish us? Will you empower us as we live in this intimate relationship with you? See, the joy that Jesus experienced is a joy that you and I can experience too. And it just is not dependent on how we feel or what's going on around us. It's totally, totally dependent on him and what he's done in our hearts and our relationship with him, where we live in love, where we're planted in love. Probably more of us are familiar with the translation of that verse. It says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. See, Jesus is saying, I'm going to put my joy in you, and that's pretty full joy. That's full on joy. You know, what we experience Yeah, when things are going well for us, when we're having a good day, when we're feeling happy and we feel joyful. You know, today the weather's been nice in England. The sun has been shining and it's been warm. And we've all felt happy. We've all felt joyful. But that joy that we've experienced today is nothing compared to the fullness of the joy we experience when our lives are held in Christ in union with the Father. You know, it's Barry said at the beginning, it's raining in Canada. Now, if we base our joy on the weather, he'll be miserable, we'll all be happy over here. But that's just not the way to do it, because, you know, joy is not something that we don't base our joy on what's going on around us. We base our joy on who our Father is and what he's doing in our hearts. You know, he calls us to live a life of fruitfulness. And we bear fruit when we're intimately joined together with him. John 15 talks about being, the branch grafted into the vine. And it's like the vine, the tree trunk provides life to the branches. And, our Father wants our lives to be fruitful. But that fruit is not something we make on our own. It's fruit that comes from being connected to him. And I really believe that Father wants to transform our hearts so that whatever is going on, you know, our circumstances may not change, but deep inside of us, we know a level of joy simply because God is our Father. See, living in love, when we live in love, it opens up for us a doorway to receive this joy into our hearts. You know, as Nehemiah said, it's his joy is our strength. And yeah, I believe that it's the same for us, that when we're rooted and grounded, or when we're planted in love, when we know who our Father is, it opens this doorway for us to receive this joy into our heart. And that joy becomes a strength to us. You know, earthly joy, it's not very substantial. You know, we can have a bit of a laugh, we can mess around and we have a bit of fun, but it actually doesn't change anything. You know, it makes us feel happy for a little while, but it doesn't put a permanent solidity into our lives. But when we receive the joy of the Lord into our hearts, it strengthens us. It enables us and it empowers us. And it's really like a tea bag. You put a tea bag into hot water and all of the flavor and color of the tea is infused into the water. And it's like when God the Father puts his joy into our lives, it's like that tea bag. It just affects everything, and it changes us. You know, when you put a tea bag into hot water, it changes the water permanently. You can't take the color out of it, you can't take the flavor out of it. That water, that hot water, is permanently transformed into a cup of tea. And when we live in love and we open the doorway for the joy of the Lord to be poured into our lives, it changes us forever. You know, it puts something inside of us that, like the flavor of the tea, it can't be taken out. You know, it's there. And, you know, there may be times when, like David, that we have to keep coming back and saying, Father, I feel like I've lost something, but just restore it again. And he will, because of his love for us. In tough times, we can still experience his joy. And it's in those times when our joy is not enough. You know, it's when things are tough, when things are hard, when when life deals us a bad hand, our own joy is not going to get us through. And it's those times we need to live in, we need to experience his joy. And this is what James writes in his letter. And again, I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience all the joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing or lacking. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when the going gets tough, experience all the joy you can. When life's hard, when the circumstances that you're facing are impossible, when it's just miserable, James says, take this as an opportunity to experience all of the joy you can. And it's in times like that you can't crank the joy up. It's times like that you just have to fall back and say, Father, I need your joy to fill my life, to change and transform me, because his joy overcomes the circumstances that we face. And it causes us to grow stronger so that we lack or we miss nothing. You know, Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in yourself, but rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That in the Passion Translation, it says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. See, there it is again. It's relationship. You know, Barry and I often say it all comes down to relationship. And this joy, experiencing this joy, let joy overflow, living in joyous celebration, comes down to our relationship with the Father. The Message says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. I mean, just have a party. Just enjoy who God is. When his joy fills us, it becomes a source of strength within us. It helps us overcome, and it leads us into a place of peace. And where there's peace, there's also rest and contentment. And my prayer this evening is, I don't want this to sound like something that's unreal or unattainable, because I really believe that it's possible for us to live in love, and as we live in love, to allow the joy of the Lord, the Father's joy, the joy of heaven to come down and fill our lives. And as our lives are filled with that joy and peace and rest, we experience a transformation of our hearts. You know, our circumstances may not change, but our hearts can change, because we can come to that place of resting in that relationship with our Father. Philippians 4:6 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we have joy in our hearts, we receive peace. And it's a peace we'll never get our brain around. We can't understand it, but it keeps our hearts and our minds safe in Christ Jesus. And I just want to just pray for us this evening. And I just join me around the world, and let's just ask the Father to pour his joy into our hearts. Let me go back to this passage in John 15 and use this as a prayer for us this evening. So, you know, just as I'm praying, just ask the Father to pour his joy. The joy of the Lord would become your strength. So, Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that your word is filled with so much content and substance about your joy. And Father, this evening we just very simply come to you as your sons and daughters. And we say, Father, will you pour the joy of your heart, the joy of heaven, into our hearts? Father, would you hold our lives in union with you? Father, would your word live powerfully within each one of us? Father, may we know that we are loved with exactly the same love as you love your son Jesus. Father, would you let your love nourish our hearts? Father, this evening, may we be nourished and empowered by your love. Father, that we would step back into the place of our lives being hidden in Christ, in God. That our lives could be totally, totally wrapped up in you and in who you are. And Father, you tell us these things so that we may experience the joy of heaven and that our hearts may be filled with overflowing gladness. And Father, I just pray for all of us, Father, that whatever situations we're going through, whatever difficulties, whatever problems, whatever struggles we're going through at the moment, Father, may we fall back into you. And even in those darkest situations, Father, may we experience something of your joy filling our hearts. That your joy would become a strength within us. Father, that even though our circumstances may not change, even though things will be exactly the same when we wake up tomorrow morning, something will be different, and that will be our hearts. And so, Father, we align our heart with your heart, and we ask you to pour your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that you are good. You are always, always good. And we can very simply rely on the goodness of our Heavenly Father. So, Father, we thank you. And Father, we love you. Amen. Thank you.